Thanks, Bob, for those good words. I'm Tim's father, and I have a perspective about Tim and his life that none of you have. Coming up here is a little bit risky because it's risky for him because he knows that I know a lot of stories about him that you don't know. And it's risky for me because I know good preachers are always looking for illustrations. And so I know that I'm kind of an open target there too. So, Tim, you've had to listen to me most of your life, with the exception of a few years where you thought I was too dumb to listen to. Fortunately, those years have kind of changed now, and we have lots of good conversation. Let me tell the congregation just a little bit about part of his life that I don't know how much he shared with you, and I'm not going to say much to say there were a number of years where Tim turned his back on God, was not serving God, and those were difficult years for us. Let me also tell you that when he turned his heart back to Jesus, it was complete, it was total. It was almost an Apostle Paul type of dramatic turnaround. And the scripture says, behold, all things became new, all things did become new. And that is the truth. The passion, the intensity that you first had when you turned your heart over to Jesus, I still see today. I still see it burning. I still see it ongoing. And I want to commend you for that, Tim. Let me tell you one little story. After he became a Christian, one night I came home and he had a pile of CDs, a big pile of CDs that he was collecting. I said, what are you going to do? And he said, I'm going to get rid of them. And I saw that he had one CD there that I personally liked the artist, Bono and U2. I know some of you think that's funny. Some of you think, how could he possibly love that? And I pulled it off of the pile, and I just looked at it, and Tim says, Dad, don't. And I knew what he meant. He had to cut. And he took those CDs out. This is the part of Tim's personality that I don't understand. Instead of putting it on the ground and burning them, he put them in my wheelbarrow. And he put some kind of incendiary flammable liquid over the thing and then lit the thing, and he burned those CDs and burned my wheelbarrow. And let me just tell you that to this day, I still have that wheelbarrow. It doesn't work very well. It's rusted through because all the paint was burned off of it. But I keep it as a memento. Let me tell you, every time I use it in the summer, I think of Tim and that moment. I know I don't have very many minutes here. I'm going to speed it up here. I want to thank the congregation for warmly accepting and receiving Tim. He's a firebrand. He came out of school, and you guys took him in. I want to thank those of you who have been so kind to our grandchildren. It's not the easiest thing to have our grandchildren far away. You have taken them in. You've loved them. I want to thank you for doing that. It's kind of you. I had a lady ask me a while back when she asked, where are your kids at? And I told them, Thailand, Kansas, and Delaware. And she looked at me and says, what did you and Carol do that none of your kids want to be around you? But we are glad they are here. We think they are where they belong. Now, it may come as a complete shock and surprise to some of you to discover that Tim has a quick mind. I think he does. We can be having a conversation, and if I'm too slow in it, he can finish my thought for me and usually says it better than I would have. I think he takes after his mother. Let me tell you, give you an illustration of when he was young. I think he was approximately 12 years of age, and Carol and I were having an argument about something. We left the room, and when I came back to the kitchen, Tim was sitting at the table eating, and I said, Mom and I have decided we're no longer going to argue. And just like that, he said, oh, you mean like the Jews and the Arabs? Yeah, right. The fights are ongoing, you know. Just a few thoughts, Tim. You asked me to just give you a few thoughts of advice. Let me just tell you what popped to my mind here. John talks about Jesus coming full of grace and truth. Grace and truth. And Jesus did that perfectly. You and I don't do it perfectly. We do it from our own perspective, from our own experience. Jesus was the only one who could do it perfectly. Tim, when you present what you think is truth, do it with grace. Because truth without grace, for most of us, is pretty hard to hear. Grace without truth kind of leaves us pretty happy in our deceptions. Jesus came with grace and truth. That's a good balance, I think. And because you will do it imperfectly, Tim, try to do it humbly. I believe, Carol and I both believe, that you have a gift of making God's word and its whole counsel alive. I love talking to you about Scripture. You bring a life to the word. Don't water it down. Bob's already alluded to this. Don't water it down. Actually, I talked to Mel Shetler, the pastor that he grew up with in Indiana. And I said, Mel, I'm coming out here. And this is what he told me that he would say to you. He said, don't water it down. Don't try to make Scripture relevant to the culture. It already is. It is relevant. And you've already alluded to this, Tim, but I'll say it again. Preach the word. Don't preach about the word. And since I've never been a pastor, never been a preacher, but I've served on the elder team, I'm going to just encourage you, Tim, to develop a very close bond with your fellow elders and with Bob, which I think you already have. Invite them to critique, to criticize your sermons and your pastoring. Work hard at being a team. You will find the burden of leading so much lighter if you have people on your backside. Remember that once you knew a lot less than you do now, so preach compassionately. You've been here long enough to know that being a preacher, being a pastor, you're going to find that there's sins that are covered that you will help uncover, that other people don't know about. You will find that you're dealing with very difficult personal decisions, problems. You will do funerals. You will have a few divorces, hopefully not many of those. You will find people with serious illness, disappointments, heartaches. And that's a big order for you to follow, Tim. Give in when you can. Be gracious when you can't. Don't mediate or compromise sin issues. Sin has to be repented, not negotiated through. Take the long view. Persevere. For the sake of time, I'm going to cut it short here now. I'll cut out some illustrations. But the first time I was here at this church, Tim was giving us a tour of the place. Nobody was here. We were just walking around looking at the place. Went out to the cemetery. I'm fascinated with cemeteries. I always like to go see the cemetery. There's so many stories. And Tim and I walked out to the cemetery, asked him, and he said he doesn't know much about the people there. But he said, have you thought about it, Dad, that depending how things go here, I could be buried here? That's a long view. That's a view of perseverance. So, Tim, love Carrie. Love your family. Love your boys. You have a sensitive heart for those who hunger after God. I see your heart opening whenever you feel someone is really responding to the Spirit of God. And for those who hurt, a real sensitive heart there, keep nurturing it. Carol and I bless you and Carrie. We believe that you are doing what God has called you to do and has gifted you to do. Do it with grace and with truth. Remember what Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and that you may have it abundantly. One version says, another version says, or life to the full. And that's what our prayer is for this congregation and for Tim and Carrie, that you could have life abundantly and to the full.